Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Mark Haas, Association for Enterprise Growth, and Bill Bavin from an organization known as ChessyCap. We're broadcasting from George Mason University School of Business. And Mark, can you give us a rundown on who we have on the air with us today?
Yes, we do. Today we have Virgil Virga, president and co-founder of Metronome, Jenna Alexa, president of Dignari, Jeremy Lundberg, CEO, and Raja Venkata, Director of Client Services for Ethos CE Learning Management Systems, and Edgar Doby, Executive Director of Arena Stage.
Excellent. Let's get to know our first guest, Virgil Virga, President and Co-Founder of Metronome. Virgil, what is Metronome? What are you guys doing?
We provide services to the Intel community, and federal government, professional services.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is the team?
We're about 175 employees right now.
And where are you from originally?
I'm from North Miami Beach, Florida.
And how many brothers and sisters?
The middle of five.
All right. So what was going on with you about 10 years old or so?
Sure. That was really when I started to get to know myself. We moved from Miami, where we weren't allowed to leave our front yard, to rural Broward County, where we could leave all night and not have to come back even when it was dark.
Tell me more about how you got to know yourself when you moved.
It was around that time, my brother, who was 5 years older and a mentor, he was off becoming a teenager. So I had more time to myself, and being able to roam, you know, through the Everglades and canals and literally catching alligators and going three-wheeling through the mangrove swamps and watching some crazy guys bite the tops off glass bottles.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me a perspective of knowing that I have the ability to choose what I want to do, how I want to do it, when I want to do it, and who I want to do it with.
Well, what's that have to do with building this organization, which is now, I think you mentioned it was 175 people and you're a co-founder. What did you learn at 10 that you're using nowadays?
Well, in the company and being the owner for myself, it's always been hard throughout my life to answer to authority. And I like that time alone. I like being able to be off by myself and create. And within the company, my role is I have all the autonomy that I need. I'm able to create. I'm able to bring ideas and new things into the company and see how it shakes out, and I don't have to complete it.
Mark?
So what was your role in a group of friends growing up?
Sure. I would say that I played a role of almost a change agent in a sense. I was a guy who would wear something different or play a new band or a new idea for something for us to do, and folks would look at me strange, but you know, 9 months or a year later, they'd be listening to those bands.
How big was the group?
It was probably pushing 15 or so, but now I still have probably 8 or 10 of those friends. Mm-hmm. We're still real close.
15 is almost like a small company.
It sure is.
Who plays the role of change maker and trendsetter in your company?
Well, coincidentally, that happens to be myself.
Okay. And you also happen to have long-term friends. I mean, these are friends. You have half the friends now that you had then. That's amazing that you've maintained those relationships. What's that have to do with your building the business?
I've got friends and wives and folks that I've known for 15 years that work at the company for us that helped, you know, that beginning charter of the company.
You're all about relationships. Mark, didn't you have some question about a film or something?
What was your favorite film growing up?
One of them was Stand By Me, without a doubt.
How so? But what did it struck you about that?
There was a group of friends that were about my age at that time, and they went off without their parents, and they had an adventure, and they got to make the decisions they want to make and, you know, and either suffer or be happy with the consequences.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the film recently?
It's probably been about 5 years. If I could recite the whole thing now.
Bill, what are you thinking?
So, Virgil, you mentioned that you wrestled and had a very influential wrestling coach when you were young. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Coach Brian Smith. He's currently at Missouri. He's been there for 20 years, and he's cranked out national champs and world champs in wrestling. And I was lucky enough to have him for a couple of years in high school, and he taught us what it was like to suffer.
What do you mean by suffer?
Essentially, to push yourself to a place where you never thought you could go physically, and then what success you get from putting yourself through that.
And how did that help you today?
Well, there's a lot of business owners in this room, and I wake up someday. Here, actually, 3 months into starting the company, I realized what a panic attack was.
Tell me about that.
I was laying in bed, and I couldn't fall asleep. And my wife had been asleep, and my chest started fluttering. I wondered what was going on, and I realized what my brother, who's also an entrepreneur, was telling me about several years back.
And how did wrestling help you with that?
I always push through. When you're out of bounds, you sprint back to the center of the mat.
Mm-hmm. How about, you mentioned when you were a kid, you started working at a young age. How young were you, and what were you doing?
I was lucky. My father was an entrepreneur, a small business owner, as well as his father before him. And we were always in the flower shop, whatever my dad had for us to do, from cutting flowers and stripping roses, making arrangements, gift baskets.
So you were 5 years old when you started doing this?
Absolutely.
And you did it until how old?
Right around high school when I got a little too busy.
Well, didn't that stink, though? Your friends are out playing when you're 11, 12, 13, 14, and your father's making you work?
It did. I talk about it all the time. When we weren't working in the flower shop, it was projects around the house all weekend long. There was no playing. There was no sleeping. You were up and you were working.
So you learned about work as a young kid.
Hard work. My dad left the house before we were up, and he got home around 7:30 or 8, and he did that 6 days a week our entire life, and a lot of times he would do it on the seventh day.
So it's not really a wonder why you ended up this way, is it?
It's not, though. If you would have asked me when I was younger if I would have saw myself doing this, I didn't at all.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
I was a late bloomer. I didn't go to college. I screwed off quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
In my mid-20s, I decided to become more responsible, though I just thought I was going to end up where I was going to end up.
So what? Who's your partner?
My partner is my wife.
What was the turning point?
For myself?
Yeah.
I was driving east on 595. I was 24 years old, and I just left an awful interview to sell fake paintings out of the back of my car.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm either going to turn right and go home and go look for another job waiting tables that I still did for 15 years, or I made a left and I ended up going to the Art Institute of Fort Lauderdale, literally at that moment. And I signed up and I took radio and TV classes. I was on radio for about a year. And then that taught me what it was like to do something that I loved. And then I had an opportunity to go make recruiting calls for my brother around that time. And that's when I realized that business and sales isn't evil. It's amazing. You can make of it what you want.
So wait. You had a turning point when you were about 10. Your words were you got to know yourself.
Thank you.
I guess when you're doing the stage of 24, it sounds to me like at that point in time, you got to figure out not necessarily who you were, but you figured out what really turned you on.
Yes.
So you hadn't been exposed to this stuff previously.
Not at all.
So what was it you found out? You found out you liked sales, or what'd you find out?
When I started working with my brother, I realized that in sales you have to be extremely creative, and you're selling something to somebody only if they want it.
So you're not rotten if you're a salesperson.
Exactly.
And you wanted to make I see. So you wanted to make sure whatever you were doing was ethical and good.
Yes.
And you realized finally that sales wasn't a bad thing, and neither was business.
Not at all.
I see. What else are you guys thinking?
So you said you've had some transformations over your life. Would your siblings recognize you now based on how they knew you as a 10-year-old?
Yes. There's, in terms of my personality, how I approach people, how I talk, the way that I think is identical to the way I was when I was younger. You know, they called me a dirty verge or crazy verge. I heard those terms a lot. And, granted, they're sort of different nicknames now, but I still have that, you know, the fun side of me. And I don't like a lot of structure, though I know now that within that discipline is really what ends up setting me free. So when I'm on the other side of the structure is when I'm when it's already implemented is when I'm feeling really where I can be the best Virgil I can be.
Mm-hmm. So you like completing stuff.
I'm smiling. You can't see that right now. Yes, though, I like completing things with a team.
What do you mean? What are you talking about there?
I play a role of the idea, the bringing the folks together, the right folks, getting the right people in the room that can do the job and motivating them to do it. And by the time we're halfway through that, I'm ready to move off.
Isn't that what your relationship with your wife is in this business?
It absolutely is.
What do you mean?
She is our CFO mm-hmm. and our CEO, mm-hmm. and she's behind the scenes, and she makes everything work from that angle. And I get to be out in front of the scenes, bring in the ideas and the change, and she drives it all forward for me.
Uh-huh. So basically, if it wasn't for your wife, you know, I don't know if you'd have a successful business. Is that fair?
It's not only fair, it's without a doubt. It's emphatically true.
What is?
We're an amazing team. My, I come from a big Italian family. It's all about family. My wife happens to be Italian as well. And it, to us, it's about working together. It's about raising amazing children. It's about being the best husband. It's about being the best wife. And it's about being the best business owners and making decisions that are the best decisions for the company, not necessarily for her or for me. And what I tell people a lot is this. If you have a partner, you guys leave and you go to separate houses. We go home and we figure out what the solution is.
Gotcha. What's the website address for Metronome?
WeAreMetronome.com.
Let me have that one more time.
WeAreMetronome.com.
And we've been speaking with Virgil Verga, president and co-founder of Metronome, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. You nailed that interview.
All right.
And your name and organization is?
Lauren Bell, CEO of Whistle.
And what is Whistle?
Whistle is an app that provides personalized product recall and safety information.
Whose idea was this?
It was mine.
And how young were you when you were getting ideas?
I was 6. I had Lauren's Lemonade. My business partner wanted to charge 25 cents a cup, and I said, no way, pay what you want, and some people would give us $20.
Oh, my gosh. So you understood from a young age about coming up with business-related ideas and unconventional business ideas, and as opposed to charging 25 cents, you told people to pay whatever they wanted, and some people gave you more.
Yep, I learned to read people at a young age.
You learned... That's interesting. I thought it was you understood business strategy, but you learned how to read people. What do you mean by that?
I knew that I had a big smile and no teeth, and I knew I could get people to do what I wanted.
So this idea about Whistle, how did it come about?
So I was a former federal prosecutor, and I realized that the government wasn't getting safety information to people, so I decided to do it myself.
Wow. And how long ago did you start this business?
About 6 months.
Uh-huh. And what are you enjoying about running your own business?
I love the wearing many hats. I've learned social media marketing, accounting, very different from being a prosecutor.
Wow. And you're doing this full-time now?
That's right.
Wasn't it frightening, like, leaving your full-time prosecutor salary and benefits and security
behind? It was terrifying.
Behind?
And talking to the press, it's the opposite of what you do as a prosecutor, but just taking each challenge as it comes.
What do you mean talking to the press is opposite of what you do as a prosecutor?
Well, when you're doing criminal investigations, you're trying to take the attention away from yourself, and when you're starting an app, you're trying to draw it to you.
Oh my gosh. Boy, you really have guts, don't you?
Yep. And 4 kids to boot.
What's the website address for Whistle?
WHYSTLE.org.
Let me have that one more time.
WHYSTLE.org.
And we've been speaking with Lauren Bell, CEO of Whistle, here on Executive Leaders Radio.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis, 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Jenna Alexa, president of Dignari. Jenna, what is Dignari? What are you guys doing?
We deliver security solutions using biometrics and emerging technologies.
Uh-huh. And how large or how small is this team?
We're just over 60 people.
Just over 60 people. And where are you from originally?
New Jersey, Asbury Park.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters?
Just one sister, older.
Uh-huh. And what were you doing 8 to 14 years old?
Lots of different things. I was dancing. I was playing softball. Mm-hmm. Lots of performing arts stuff.
What was your role on the softball team?
Well, I played a lot of different positions. I played first base. I actually pitched for a bit, but I enjoyed being a catcher the most.
So you played a lot of different. Why were they giving you a lot of different positions, and what did you enjoy about catcher?
Well, I mean, I played for quite a few years, so that's why the different positions. But I was catcher, and I made the All-Star team as catcher, and I worked very, very hard to make that team. It was pretty competitive. So, but I like being kind of having some control over the outcome.
Ah, you like to have control over the outcome. Okie dokie. Bill?
So you also mentioned performing arts, mm-hmm. and I understand you choreographed a play when you were 15, 16 years old. Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, I was in a variety of different plays, and when I was about 16, I think it was, I was given the opportunity to choreograph the school musical.
So. Really? So... Does everyone do that? Is that easy?
Well, it's not particularly easy. I mean, it wasn't Broadway either, but it was something I wanted to have control over the outcome of kind of how well it went.
Was it a big play? A lot of people?
Yeah, it was the school musical.
What was involved in choreographing the school play when you were 15 or 16 years old?
Well, we had to coordinate, you know.
No, talk about I had to what? What'd you have to do?
Well, I had to come up with the routines for the different acts.
So you had to figure out everybody's job description. I mean, role.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Does that have anything to do with what you're doing nowadays?
Sure.
Like what?
Well, I mean, obviously, we're a rapidly growing small company. Mm-hmm. I've had people with me that I've worked with for the last 20 years, but we've been in business for 5.
Is it possible one of the reasons they've been with you so long is because you figured out where they fit and what turns them on?
Well, I think I surround myself with people that have different strengths than me, right? And along the years, we've all worked together, and you come across people that have.
So you're comfortable working with people that are better and different than you.
Absolutely,
I think you're good at figuring out where they fit.
It's the collective strength of the team that makes the best product.
Is that what was going on with you choreographing this play when you were 15 or 16?
I don't know about that, but it certainly helped me learn that along the way.
Well, were there other kids that were 15 or 16 that were choreographing plays in your school?
I don't know about that.
Why'd they ask you to do it?
I think I asked to do it.
Ah, oh boy, you really do like taking control of the team, don't you? Mm-hmm. Next question, who's got it?
You said when you were 14, you had a job as a waitress.
Actually, I started out as a counter girl at the Homestead Restaurant in Ocean Grove, New Jersey, which was really a prep job. But I worked my way up to being a waitress over time and really waited tables throughout college. So.
And what did you learn from that?
I think everybody could benefit from being in the customer service industry. I think you learn about people. You learn about how to anticipate what people need, when to when they want to be bothered and when they don't want to be bothered, and also just dealing with all different types of people and making sure you get the best outcome. You know, I mean, I was working for tips, so, you know, you always want to make sure you maximize your return on investment, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
What were your favorite academic subjects?
I was best in probably math and science, but I also really loved art and other you know, artistic fields. And I think one of our colleagues here talked a little bit earlier about how math and creativity and coding kind of go together, and that's kind of what led me to being in the field that I'm in.
Mm-hmm. There was something that was going on with cheerleading. What was going on with cheerleading?
So this is an interesting story. So my mom and her sisters, you know, they grew up in a time, they went to Catholic school, where cheerleading was really the only option for them when it came to extracurricular activities and sports. And so they were a little bit disappointed when I decided that I really wanted to be a cheerleader. And what at the time maybe they didn't understand is that it was the most competitive activity for girls. I think it was like 12 to 16 folks made the team, mm-hmm. and like 300 tried out.
Uh-huh.
And I made the team every year. But it was, you know, winning.
So you disappointed your mom and your aunt, you know, consistently year after year by trying out for the team and getting there.
Don't get me wrong. They were very proud of me. And I was involved in a lot of other things. I played field hockey. I still did softball, things like that. But they, I think they wanted to see me take advantage as a woman of all the things that I had available to me that they didn't have available to them.
Uh-huh. But nonetheless, the reason you wanted to go out for the cheerleading was because you wanted to be competitive.
Wanted to be the best.
What are you talking about? You wanted to be the best.
Well, you had to work very, very hard, and you had to put your head down, and that's kind of my parents always said, if you want the best outcome, you put your head down, you work hard, and by the way, that's going to give you the most confidence in yourself too, right?
All right. So what's that have to do with building this business known as Dignari?
Well, you know, I didn't always know that I was going to start my own business. I knew I was going to be successful. I used to tell my parents I was going to buy them a big beach house in Manaloking, New Jersey, when I was a kid. And
I
gained the confidence to start the business.
Wait. How old were you when you were telling your parents this?
Oh, I was like in junior high.
Did you mean it?
Of course I meant it. My dad still asks me when it's happening.
Well, you raised his expectations. I mean, you got to deliver what you sell. You were in the service business, weren't you?
Yep.
Mark, didn't you have a question about the family or something like that?
Yeah. How important is family to you? Tell me a little bit about your family.
Well, I mean, it's everything. So, I mean, my parents always used to say, you know, your friends will come and go, but your family will always be here. And I am a grandchild and great-grandchild of Irish and Italian immigrants. My great-grandmother on the Italian side had 12 kids. She lived to 109. They each had at least 5 kids. I've got so many cousins, and they all stayed pretty much in the same area, by the way.
What's your reputation amongst your cousins?
I don't know. You have to ask them.
what do you think they would tell me?
I was in the immediate family. I was one of the youngest on both sides, and so that was tricky. I had to really maneuver because I was the one getting left out, right?
So they didn't realize who you were.
Well, I think we're all still very close, so...
Good, Mark.
Do your employees feel like they're part of your family?
Well, I will tell you that my business partner and I don't have a brother, but we always say he's like the closest thing I have to a brother because we really balance each other out. But when he was going to start his own business, all of our mutual colleagues said, what on earth are you guys thinking? You guys need to get together because we have, you know, these great strengths. And we balance each other out in terms of our strengths and weaknesses.
Well, how'd you learn how to work with somebody? If you didn't have a brother, how'd you know how to work with a brother?
I had 100 male cousins. You
know? And the family was that close?
We're pretty tight, yeah. I mean, even my extended family, yeah, absolutely.
So because you were the youngest, you're comfortable from coming from behind. Maybe the reason you had the confidence competing as a cheerleader, you know, is... You don't have to start off number one, but you know you can compete to get there.
Yeah, and my sister is very successful, too, and, you know, I was the little sister, so I was always looking up to her and trying to, you know, one upper.
That's interesting. That's it's fascinating. So, so mom and dad are still around nowadays.
Unfortunately, my mom passed away. We lost her to cancer 2 years ago.
Sorry to hear that. So, has your dad been to your office?
My dad has been very involved in being a mentor to me and in some of the things.
When
that
he
I
walks
do.
Into your office, how do you think he feels?
Well, we are all virtual, so he doesn't walk into our office, actually. So we're all on client side.
How's he feeling about your success?
I think he's very proud.
About what?
Well, I think that he sees that all of the values he instilled with me.
Perfect. What's the website address for Dignari?
Dignari.com.
How do you spell that?
D-I-G-N-A-R-I.
We've been speaking with Jenna Alexa, president of Dignari, here on Executive Leaders Radio.
Nice interview.
You like business content? I mean, if you didn't like business content, you wouldn't be listening to this show, right? What if I can give you even more of what you like? Now, we've never met, but I'm willing to bet you are very busy. Between your work, family, and outside commitments, this little car ride is your time to catch up on your favorite show. But do you always get to tune in? Exactly. Well, now there's a business club with you in mind. BizVod is the place for business videos on demand. We have partnered with this show to provide you more of the content you like. The best part? It's all on demand. That means you can log in anytime from any device and watch shows that answer all of your business questions. For a limited time, you can try it for free for 30 days. Simply go to BizVod.com and enter promo code radio. That's BIZVOD.com, promo code radio.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Call the CPAP hotline now. 800-525-8891. 800-525-8891. That's 800-525-8891. Copays and deductibles apply. Supplies are replaced in accordance with Medicare guidelines.
Attention business owners and
and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Jeremy Lundberg, CEO, and Raja Venkata, Director of Client Services of an organization known as Ethos CE Learning Management Systems. Jeremy, what is Ethos CE Learning Management Systems?
Ethos CE is a learning management platform that supports continuing education in the health professions. Okay. So we have about 75 leading medical associations and health systems.
Cool. And how large or how small is the organization?
We have approximately 15 employees.
All right. And where are you from originally?
Carmel, New York.
And whose idea was this business?
So I started actually the consulting company when I was doing cancer research at Sloan Kettering.
So you had the idea for this thing, huh?
Yeah.
How young were you when you started having ideas?
Oh, well, pretty much all of my life, I've always known that I was going to be an
entrepreneur. Give me an idea of how young were you when you started having ideas or started making money.
My first business was when I was nine, mm-hmm. and it started out actually because of my father. And he used to, my mom and dad used to always have a lot of dinner parties,
uh-huh.
and he would sign me up actually to mow all of his friends' yards.
Yeah.
And so pretty soon, actually, I had 20 yards.
Wait a minute, how old were you when you were doing the 20 yards?
Probably I was nine.
So
I was making bank.
So
know,
at the
nice.
Age at the age of 9 or 10, you're doing 20 lawns. That, you had to be pretty organized as a kid to do that, didn't you?
I did, yes, particularly since I couldn't drive.
Uh-huh. Wow. So you, all right, Bill, what kind of questions you got there?
Well, so your parents had were social, and your father sort of influenced you to get into doing lawns. How about your mother? Tell me a little about her.
Yeah, so she was a music teacher, could play about 16 different instruments, went to Princeton, and then realized that seventh graders did not want to go to music class. So she changed careers and became a computer programmer and ran Pepsi's data warehouse for about 26 years. One of their managers.
That's fascinating. Did she get you involved with computers then?
She introduced me actually to my first computer. I think it was actually using BASIC. But what I started to realize is that as she introduced me to it, I kind of took off on it. And she explained this to me one day, and it's true because I also play guitar and very involved in music. And it made me, she said to me, coding is like music. And when she said that to me, it totally changed my whole perspective on it. Later on in life when the internet came out, I taught myself how to code because I was solving some problems for some of our cancer patient community.
Mm-hmm.
It was very influential.
So how is coding like music?
It's got a rhythm to it. It's kind of like a symphony. That's kind of how I think about it.
Does it just naturally start, or is it a jumble or a mess or something that you got to deal with?
In the first times, probably in the early years it was. But for me, it would seem very natural.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really wasn't good at reading music, but I could play guitar by ear, virtually any song I wanted
to. Mark?
So you had an interesting childhood. What did you see from that perspective yourself doing as an adult?
I always knew I was going to be a psychotherapist, psychologist, but I also knew I was also going to be an entrepreneur. And so I worked and did a fellowship in psychiatry and surgery.
How did you know you were going to be an entrepreneur?
Basically from the lawn business, and also the psychology part also came into is an interesting story, is that my parents dared me to learn how to play Stairway to Heaven, and if I did, I would get my first electric guitar. So I did, and they were not happy about that.
Uh-huh. So you
learned how to negotiate, how people work, how, you know, what people's, you know, how to interact with people, how to understand their strengths, you know, weaknesses in conversations and so forth.
Raja, how long have you guys been working together?
8 years.
And when you started working with Jeremy, what was your role in the organization?
More of a developer, business analyst.
A developer and a business analyst. And what are you doing nowadays?
Sales and business development, doing sales presentations.
How did a developer end up in sales? What ended up happening there? What happened?
So I think it's all about the environment that the company is in, which and Jeremy and the leadership promotes creativity and good work ethics, and that allowed me to be truly creative and expand and learn more about myself.
Did Jeremy help you appreciate stuff about yourself that you didn't originally appreciate?
A lot. In fact, he was the one who said, maybe I should try full-time sales.
So how did that happen? One day did he walk into your office and make this big announcement to you, or was it slow but sure? What happened there?
So I think I was initially into a little bit more of project management, and then organically it happened that customers used to give us more business when I was leading the project, and that's when he said, you seem to be liking what you do, and then he said, let's just, you know, try out a couple of sales meetings, and then those went really well, and that's how he transitioned me into business development.
Why would the customers, when you were the project manager, why would the customers give you more business?
Because I think I tend to relate to people, and my background in math and teaching allowed me to communicate in a way that people understand.
Your background in math and what?
And teaching. My mom is a math teacher, uh-huh. And I used to teach kids, high school kids, when I was in 12.
Wait, I got a question for you. How young were you? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have 3 sisters, elder.
What did you learn from your sisters about sales?
I think more about how being amicable and being nice to everyone gets things done, because I always used to get a large pie of the cake every time.
And these are 3 older sisters?
Correct.
So you learned what about business from your 3 older sisters?
I think how to get work done with people who are elder to you and being nice to them. And being nice to people always has its own rewards.
And you think that relates to your role in sales?
Correct, because I think identifying with people's needs and giving them exactly what they want will help in business development.
Huh, and Jeremy spotted that in you, even though you were starting off as a developer.
Correct.
Uh-huh. So you got a pretty close working relationship with Jeremy, huh?
We do, yep. He does the initial pitch, and then I take it from there, and then both of us pretty much close the sale.
Huh, how about that?
So you guys seem to be in sync with your personal values. How do those relate to the company values?
So what we try to do is that I personally believe that as I've gotten older, that leadership does not equate to taking credit. It's actually allowing people to make their own decisions that work for you. And granted, providing guidance, you know, and conversations. And that's the environment that we wanted to create. I mean, we have very little turnover at our company. Most of the people have been with us for 8 to 10 years in our 17-year history. Our clients stay with us. Very few of our clients ever leave. And so, you know, my personal goals for the company is always to advance, reduce barriers to advancing patient care at the end of the day. And I believe that the equation to that is a key component of that is educating healthcare providers on the latest advances in medicine and science.
What do you learn from your clients?
Oh, everything. I mean, you know, who stakeholders are, how politics work. Every organization is different. So how you position things, you know, what works, what doesn't. We also have a huge user community around our software. And so listening to them, we spend a lot of time listening, and that informs our product roadmap. So it may not just be what we want to do with the software, but it's also what they would like to see us do and what obstacles, challenges, what's working, what's not working, best practices, and allowing them to have a forum to have that level of communication.
So you're really connected to your clients in the markets, and you're certainly open to adopting whatever the needs are and what's coming.
Absolutely.
It's interesting. You mentioned earlier you were doing something with surgery.
Yeah, I did my research fellowship in Sloan Kettering in psychiatry and surgery.
So, and what's that have to do with your business nowadays?
Human interactions, right? So, you know, psychology is whether you're working with human beings or how human beings interact or interface with computers is very similar. But also, too, is that, you know, the patients that I worked with, my colleagues, they just taught me so much about life.
So your nature is not to stand up front and pound your chest. I mean, in terms of the team, it sounds like your role is to try to develop your people. Sounds to me like your role with your clients is to really understand what their needs are and try to serve them. You're not a boisterous kind of individual, are you?
No, I was when I was younger, but as I've matured and developed, as Roger said, is that you don't get anywhere yelling at people.
What do you mean?
Understanding and listening is much more important and will get you much farther than actually screaming and trying to be the top dog.
By asking the right questions?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. What's the website address of this organization?
It's ethosce.com, and that's ethosce.com.
And you're in the business of education.
Medical education, yes.
So fundamentally, it's your philosophy about don't stand up front, rather ask the right questions, deliver the information in the best possible. It's what your business is really all about. Same thing as your management philosophy, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, let me have the website address one last time.
ethosce.com, and that's ethosce.
We've been speaking with Jerry Lumberg and Raja Venkata from Ethos CE Learning Systems. We nailed it. You got it. And your name and organization is?
Kristen Mitchell, Senior Director of Individual Giving at Arena Stage.
And what do you do for a living there?
I do fundraising, raising support for the theater.
All righty. And how do you go about doing that? What's involved in doing that?
Everything from direct mail, online outreach, to meeting one-on-one with donors.
So what's the key to that? What's the key to being able to raise money for this organization known as Arena Stage?
Figuring out what drives people and how that matches with our mission and our needs.
Mm-hmm. How young were you when you were doing that?
As long as I can remember, have always been an observant person.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
People thought I was shy growing up because I wouldn't talk as much starting out, but I was kind of reading the room and getting to know what was going on before engaging.
What does reading the room and observing have to do with raising money? I'm trying to figure that out.
It's the whole thing. You got to figure out, listen to people and hear what their interests are, and you can't kind of make that connection if you don't hear them well.
Did you say you were playing piano when you were a kid?
I started playing piano when I was 9 years old.
Uh-huh. So you were like an individual kind of kid, a little keeping to yourself a little bit, but just observing everything.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. So when people come to the theater, I mean, I guess they're coming for a bunch of different reasons, and you're like trying to sense what that reason is and then why, what you can do to help them feel comfortable giving?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you're meeting some of these people? You're talking to them?
Yeah, it depends on the level of their giving. Mm-hmm. The more you're giving, the more personalized that experience
is. Yeah, it makes sense. What's the website address of this organization?
Arenastage.org.
Let me have that one more time.
Arenastage.org.
Arenastage.org. We've been speaking with Kristen Mitchell, Senior Director of Individual Giving at Arenastage.org. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a 3-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce David Morgan, who is the COO of STS International. David, what is STS International?
STS is a defense contracting firm, predominantly an Army organization, and does systems integration.
And how large or how small is this organization?
We're about 150 people now, $90 million.
Uh-huh. How'd you get a job with this company?
A co-founder.
When did you co-found it?
Early 90s, 92, 93.
Uh-huh. And where'd you grow up?
I was a military brat. Was born here in Bethesda and moved around most of my life.
How many different schools did you go to?
A lot. 5 schools in 5 years at one point.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters?
I'm the second of 4, 2 brothers and 1 sister.
The second of 4. All right, good. Brian, what do you got?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your father. You said earlier that he was a career infantryman.
Yeah, I mean, he was born in the coal country of Kentucky, grew up very, very poor, lived in a small shack with his entire family, and then left early from high school and went to West Point, and then became an Army officer and served a career there.
And then he went all the way to retirement?
Yeah, he retired from there and then went into industry working in secure communications.
Okay. And what did you learn, when it comes to business instincts from your father? Because your father took a military career, which was a bit more, I guess, linear. But you said later on he actually went into business himself.
Yeah, yeah. The thing I learned most from my father was the ability to persevere, right? He was the king of being able to never take a no. He was always able to find a yes, to find a solution, and to grind consistently until you could get success.
Okay, and how did you sort of leverage those skills going forward?
Well, we all worked in the business together, right? So it's a very much of a family effort. My younger brother joined the company a couple years after I was in it, and it's always been about trying to build a team and continue to move forward with the company even through adversity.
Alex,
David, how young were you when you had your first job?
I was 13, 14 years old.
Whose idea was that?
I think it was a joint idea from my parents and myself.
Why was it important for you?
Well, there was a time to earn some money and then earn responsibility.
Well, tell me about the responsibility.
Well, I started off with that job as a paper delivery boy for the Washington Post. And we had to get up and early in the morning and deliver the papers before we had to go to school and on the weekends. And sometimes as a young child, you don't get up on time to do it. And so we had to work together as a family to deliver all the papers.
You're the one with the job. Why is anybody helping you?
Well, it had to get done. And that was part of the whole mantra of how we run the business today. Everything has to get done, and it can't all be done by one person. So my father would step in, or my mother would step in and help us deliver the papers and make the route, which was a pretty large route and long distances.
Okay, so how'd you do in school?
I was just an average student.
So where'd you spend all your time?
I did a lot working. I did play sports. I played football, and then a lot of time with family.
Now, you mentioned another key family member, your mom's sister.
Yeah.
Tell me about the influence they had on you.
So my Aunt Joyce and Uncle Frank were very close to us. They live in the area as well, and they have a large family, so we spent a lot of time together.
Tell me about Uncle Frank.
Well, so Frank was a story from the generation of World War II, was in Normandy, and then did a career in the CIA.
So what's the one thing you learned from Frank that you've carried forward in the business?
Perseverance, honesty, teamwork.
Didn't you tell us you had a lot of respect for him?
Tremendous amount of respect. He was one of those strong, silent types. But when you got him to talk, the stories were incredible.
So you respect people. You really respect people that are humble and that get things done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty deep inside of you.
Yeah, I think respect, humility is one of the greatest aspects of leadership.
Give me that again. What are you talking about?
To be a leader, you have to respect everybody else on the team. To be selfish and to try and draw attention to yourself and try to make it more than what it is, to me, is not a leader.
Where'd you learn that?
From my family.
What do you mean?
Well, all of them led in their own ways. I mean, leaders don't necessarily have to be the focal point of attention.
So where'd you find your voice in all that? Since you were not the oldest and you weren't the youngest, and Dad had this career.
I was sort of the middle of the pack grinder that had to hold it all together.
What do you mean?
So my older brother was the athlete, the rebel. My younger brother was the quiet, introspective one. And I was the one that sort of sat in the middle trying to make it all work.
Why did you feel like you had to make it work?
I didn't feel like I had to. I think it was just part of the responsibility that I had. I mean, everybody has a role in an organization, and that was mine.
What's that have to do? What's your role in the family have to do with the role you play in their business? Is there a correlation there between who you were then and who you is now?
Oh, absolutely.
What's the correlation there? What are you talking about?
So my job now is similar to what I was when I was growing up. I'm in the middle of trying to make all the things happen to pull the glue together, which is, I think, indicative of what an operations person does.
So you're telling me you haven't changed much since you were a kid?
Well, a little bit heavier, a little bit balder, but other than that, yeah.
But fundamentally, the role you took in the family is the role you're taking nowadays. It's really who you are. I mean, you really are a respectful and responsible individual. I mean, I read the newspapers. The reason this is interesting to me is, you read the newspapers about CEOs and COOs and they're crooks and they steal. It's like, you're just not built that way.
No, you can't do it. I think the community overall in business, let alone in the federal government space, is way too small. Reputation and respect is everything to me.
Give me that again. Reputation and respect is everything to me.
Yeah, you can't go too far in any part of business without knowing somebody who may know you. So I am one of the true attributes that I try to promote every single day in the company is transparency. You've got to put your feelings on the table, express on who you are, what your expectations are, and then you have to be able to produce on those over and over and over again.
What influence did your mom have on that?
That was my mom's mantra her entire life. She was a very compassionate, empathetic person, but she created the environment to allow trust and respect within the family.
What's the website address of this organization known as STS International?
STSINT.com.
Let me have that one more time.
STSINT.com.
We've been speaking with David Morgan, COO of STS International. Les, can you give us a rundown on who else we've had the opportunity of speaking with?
Chris Schroeder, CEO of App 47. Frank Banda, Managing Partner, Public Sector, Cohn Resnick. Mehdi Charkawi, COO and CFO at Fossil, and David Morgan, COO, STS International.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Brian Chandler from Pretori Law, Alex, how do you pronounce your last name?
Bartholomew.
Who is People Stretch Solutions and Les Mullen Vistage for giving me a hand structuring the questions. He'll be providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. Our host, Pretori Law and Tysons, could you give us your website address?
That's PretoriLaw.com, PretoriLaw.com.
And Alex, your website address?
PeopleStretch.com, PeopleStretch.com.
And Les, your website?
Vistage.com.
And don't forget to visit our website, ExecutiveLeadersRadio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and do have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Well, we just nailed that.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.